You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of the Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm so happy to be joined today by my good friend, Sven Longshanks. And we're here to discuss a lot of different things that are going on. Sven, but let's kick off, as always. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing really well, Matt. I've got some good news, some announcements to make, really, at the beginning of the show that Jez Turner's asked me to let people know about. You've had your Trump victory rally over there with your MPI conference. Well, we've got our Trump victory rally over here on Saturday. We've got the 12th Yorkshire Forum. We've got Andrew Bronn speaking there, a nationalist ideology. Jez Turner, his speech is entitled Get Ready for the White Lash. Richard Edmonds, his one's entitled Donald Trump's Miracle Victory. And there's a surprise guest speaker. If it's who I think it is, it's going to be a very, very good speaker. And his speech is entitled The Alt-Right Geopolitics and How We Can Win. And there's a buffet lunch, merchandise stalls and raffle. Admission is £10, but it's free if anyone is under the age of 26. And there's an evening social as well. And that's this Saturday, the Yorkshire Forum. And if you want any further information, then please email Jez at londonforum@yahoo.co.uk. That's londonforum@yahoo.co.uk. And you can also find the details at the Daily Storm of Forums in the book club section. I think I put it in the Northwest section, Northwest England. But it should be a really good do. I'm looking forward to going myself, and I'll be recording it, so we'll have it to play on Radio Arian next week. But it's always good just to go along to these things and meet up with people. And I've also got a second announcement as well. On the same day, there's a protest at Royal Holloway College, Egham Hill, Surrey, from 2 p.m. onwards. They did one a couple of weeks back, and you can find footage of that on the London Forum YouTube channel. And it says, this will be the second demonstration organised by the Racial Volunteer Force in support of two RVF activists dismissed from their posts on account of their political activities. Time to call for the resignation of the principal, Professor Paul Lazell, who presides over a college where freedom of opinion is stifled, even for service contractors. While disgraceful and insulting behaviour from left-wing student counter-demonstrators, such as we witnessed on the 22nd of October, is tolerated. What's basically happened there is people that were subcontracted by the school, not teachers or anything like that, but people that were just working there, the college took a dislike to something that they were saying on Facebook, something that wasn't politically correct. So they got the sack. So people are demonstrating against that. And the organiser is Mark Atkinson, who can be contacted directly on Facebook if you look up Mark Atkinson there. So that's two chances our British listeners have to go get out there and meet up with other nationalists and network. You can learn something at the Yorkshire Forum, or you can go and help out at this demonstration and show that there's more people than they think that disagree with people being sacked for being politically incorrect. So I just recommend that people go to them, Matt. I don't know if you've got anything you'd like to say about those two events at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's great. I mean, one of our biggest things, you know, in 2016 and going into 2017 has to be based on getting out there in the real world, whether it's these private meetups, to be able to hear speeches, get motivated, get to know people, network, and then you take that energy back, find out people that live near you, get involved with them in a professional way. That's a great thing. Or going out and doing demonstrations, getting physically involved, taking to the streets, because the movement that takes the streets takes the country. So either way, I think both of those sound like great events, and I'd encourage people to understand the importance of both, to get involved in both, because if you're going to be going to conferences and things like that, that's great, but you need to be involved if possible. I mean, I understand family and jobs can be different if you can't participate in, you know, due to your job or something like that. Be sure to support the activists that are out there in the streets. But especially if you're a young guy, young single guy, be a revolutionary, both in the conference room and on the streets. It's a very important thing that we need to be able to get more people out. But this is really important because, you know, as we saw with NPI, they had close to 300 attendees this weekend, which is growing. I think that's about twice as big as it was last year. So things are really growing on both sides of the Atlantic. So, you know, go out, get involved, and, you know, find what works for you, and then find the people in your area to get involved and do more things and keep this building. So nationalism isn't just, you know, like you're in the American National Guard and you go away for part of the summer and, you know, once a weekend, once a month. No. This has to be a full-time dedication in terms of doing what you can for the movement, doing what you can for your people. And it's so much easier when there's people who live close to you, when you know more people, and you network. You know, it builds that fellowship, builds that fraternity, and that's what community is, and that's what, as nationalists, we are. We believe in the national community that we're a part of. So I would just say, I encourage everyone to go and, if possible, get involved with those two events, or look at other events, no matter where you are, to go out and get involved, because it's a really important part of motivating and of doing forward motion.
Well, I think I think we're really lucky here in Britain to have these forums that go off. I mean, you just had your MPI conference over there that you've mentioned, but that's only once a year. You know, over here in Britain, we have the London Forum, which is every 2 months, and it's always international speakers at that. So that's like a sort of an international forum. And then you've got the Yorkshire Forum, Scottish Forum, Welsh Forum that take place on the other month. So, which is more nationalist, more British nationalist. You end up having various speakers from around Britain that turn up to the national ones, and you get the international speakers at the international ones. So although you have your big MPI conference, that's only once a year, we get these forums that we can go to every couple of months. So I think we are really lucky in Britain to have this. And the other thing that I wanted to bring to people's attention was one of the people that has been brave enough to perform at the London Forum was Alison Chablos. I don't know if people have seen her YouTubes at all, but she's a singer. I suppose you would call it sort of music hall, like 30s, 40s, 50s sort of style of music that she does. And she sings all these satirical songs, basically about the Jews, exposing the Jews. And I've got a news piece here because she seems to be getting herself into, well, being quite persecuted by the police. And this news piece says, Alison Chablos shot to fame after performing a Canel salute at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 2015. Chablos was again in the news during this year's Fringe after her show was pulled for being too political. Now, this Fringe Festival, they pride themselves on being alternative, and yet if it's not leftist alternative, then you're banned. She was the first performer ever to get banned from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and she's been a victim of targeted harassment and abuse, it says, from vicious pro-Israel advocates, as well as from a host of anonymous Hasbara Zio trolls and assorted leftist liberal social justice warriors. Chablos was recently informed by her local police force in Derbyshire that their investigation for malicious communications and harassment regarding this online abuse against her had been closed. And the investigation began earlier this year after she received several unwanted postal deliveries, including anonymous birthday and Christmas cards, which are obviously saying, "We know where you live," as well as several sales catalogues for reinforced doors and blinds, sort of hinting that she needs to protect herself. And they're all addressed to her in a derogatory manner. 10 days after receiving news that the police had now closed that case, she was arrested by local police in an investigation involving two other police forces. She was questioned and detained for 6 hours. More than 2 hours were spent locked in a cell. And she learned on release at midnight that during that time, police had raided her home and seized her laptop, as well as her mobile phone. And her hate crime, allegedly, concerns this Canel salute that she did 15 months ago, and the songs that she performed at the London Forum. Besides this allegation of incitement, she was also arrested and questioned on suspicion of online harassment of two of her critics. So she's been criticised and she stood up for herself, and they arrested her for that as well. But they presented no evidence of that. Her solicitor says there's been no evidence shown of any such harassment presented during the interview. And there have been other incidents of online harassment, including death threats, as well as further attempts to prevent her from performing. and Derbyshire police have failed to take any appropriate action against the perpetrators every time. And now, with her laptop in police hands, her gigs have all been put on hold because the device contains all her sheet music, backing tracks, all the software vital for her performances. And her solicitor has submitted a legal request to try and recuperate the device and her mobile phone, which was also seized. She's been bailed until January the 12th, pending a decision by the Crown Prosecution Service. And on top of all this, on November the 19th, just a couple of days ago, she received another court summons to appear in front of Westminster Magistrates Court in a private prosecution brought against her by Gideon Falter, who is the director of a UK-registered quote-unquote charity, Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. And Falter accuses Shabloz of using social media to cause offence in breach of the 2003 Communications Act after she posted a video of her song, which is entitled Survivors, on YouTube. And the song has gained over 6,000 views so far. And the hearing will take place at 10 a.m. on December the 15th. Now, this is just for singing songs, Matt. This is just literally for singing political songs. You know, like the protest songs that the left sing. Well, she sings protest songs that the right should be singing. And she's been arrested for this. She's been told that it's incitement to hatred. She's had her means to actually earn a living taken away from her, the computer being taken away from her. And now she's got this private prosecution against her as well. None of her stuff is filthy. You know, you don't hear bad language, you won't hear anything degenerate. All you'll hear is light-hearted humor at Jewish behavior, basically. And Britain is supposed to be, you know, the source of free speech. We are supposed to have free speech over here, and yet this young lady, who's got an absolutely incredible voice, a really talented musician, is being treated like this. And of course, none of this is in the newspapers. I had to find this out from CODO, the Committee for Debate on the Holocaust. And again, this was sent to me by Jez Turner. It's just something that people need to know about, the way that nationalists are being persecuted and the way that, I mean, this is a young lady that's being treated like this, arrested, thrown in the cells, and she's getting all these death threats. The police have done nothing whatsoever about that. But if she makes a joke about the Jews and sings about it, then they'll come down on her like a ton of bricks. This is just a complete double standard, isn't it, Matt?
Well, I mean, I just love the fact that with all the issues that we're facing, that, you know, in the UK, when you have ISIS sending active terror cells throughout Europe, I am so glad that, I think you said two police forces plus an additional one, plus you probably had to have at least one more that hasn't made its move yet, that four police forces really were using their time and their funding for an important thing, because by golly, you couldn't stop hate preachers. By golly, you couldn't do anything to stop the trafficking of young girls. And of course, you definitely couldn't do anything offensive to the folks that are burning poppies to dishonor British war dead and British soldiers and actively plotting to attack the country. That would be xenophobic. But you've got this entire police state and this entire infrastructure where you have to do something, right? I mean, you have to justify your budget. You can't just sit around and, I don't know, our cops eat donuts, so I don't know what your cops do, tea and tea and crumpets, perhaps. you can't just sit around and drink tea and crumpets, so you gotta do something. So, no, within the framework of the modern left, this seems like a totally reasonable thing for them to do. I mean, with all the crazy things they do, focusing on a young girl singing music, that seems like it's in the best interest of the British people, I have to say. We should be very proud of the boys in blue, I think. Or did I just have a stroke there?
Well, I think it's what really gets me is this, you know, this is humour. This is just humour. This is something that is satire that we are told is, you know, we should be celebrating. We should be defending it when it's satire in France, when it's Charlie Hebdo, when it's really offensive, and it's really offensive to Christians and offensive to Muslims. And she makes these satirical songs about a historical event, and they come down on her like this. I mean, it really does show to you who the privileged people are in Britain. You know, that famous quote, to find out who rules over you, find out who it is that you cannot criticize. And this really shows this. You know, I think if the general public in Britain were to find out about this, something would be done about it. But of course, they don't find out about it because the mainstream media is all owned by the same people that she's criticizing. They're all owned by the Jews, or they're married to Jews, or they've got to the position where they're in from sucking up to the Jews. So anyone that exposes them, they get these odious laws used against them. And they wonder why we're living in a world where we have a word like post-truth that's been made Word of the Year by the Oxford Dictionary, which says that facts no longer matter, and all that the mainstream media is concerned about is emotionally manipulating people. Because what she sings about is, you know, you can factually check it. She sings about the Havara Agreement. She sings about these holo hoaxes that have been caught for faking the holo hoax. I mean, she sings about Irene Zisblatt and these various others, and the, you know, the pooping out the diamonds and climbing over the fences and escaping the gas when they ran out of gas, all that sort of thing. I mean, you can check that she's singing about these fakers, and yet she's been told that this is incitement to hatred. Well, I don't understand how it can be incitement to hatred when you can hear the audience clapping and cheering and singing and laughing. You know, the last thing on their minds is hatred and going out attacking anyone. What they're out for is a good evening of laughter. I mean, it's really shocking, and I just wish that more people knew about this, of what's going on, because she's not the only one that's persecuted for her speech, but she is somebody that you know, there is a chance that we may be able to get this in the mainstream media, even if it's, you know, spoken negatively about, as if they're saying, oh, this horrible anti-Semitic woman is singing these songs. I still think people would be saying, well, hang on a minute, you know, all it is a song that she's singing. I'm encouraged by the amount of comments we see supporting us on the mainstream media now in the comment sections, and I just wish that we could get information like this out there to the public. Matt, I don't know if you have any ideas on how we can better reach the public. I suppose these public demonstrations like the ones that I mentioned earlier are probably the best way.
Yes, no, I totally agree. I mean, the most important thing for us to be able to do is to reach the public, to engage the public, and let them know who we really are. Because if you really, really think about it, this Jewish system, and of course, you know, I was being satirical with my previous comments, The fact is, the enemy has no sense of humor. I mean, when you really look at it, for instance, with us, with nationalism, the narrative put forward by the Jews is that we're hate-filled, is that we're angry, is that we're violent. And, you know, you take the flip side. I hate to be like, well, you know, they're the real violent ones, but no, it's true. Like, the left is absolutely seething. I mean, talk about doing a demonstration to go and support two comrades who lost their jobs because they were nationalists, not bringing that into the workplace, just happen to be nationalists. The left will do anything to get you fired. The left will do anything to hurt you. The left will do anything it can to attack you. Like you said, they don't care about facts. They care about their party line. And the left are really the ones, of course, led by the Jews with other Gentile collaborators. They're all built on this evil, evil, evil system. And we need to be actively fighting it. But, you know, you think that when it comes to humor, They don't understand it. I mean, they do things like piss Christ, you know, taking a crucifix and putting it in urine and all these absolutely horrific things. Or the play in Greece that was done a few years ago where Jesus was supposed to be a homosexual and all the apostles were homosexuals together. Of course, Golden Dawn shut that one down pretty quickly with active support from the church there, demonstrating and actively shutting down the event. And that's an important one. I mean, we need to be engaged because the enemy has no sense of humor. They actively hate us, and we can't have arguments with these people. We can't negotiate with these people because they're so pathologically dedicated to fighting and destroying everything that we love. And that means getting you fired. We know the Politico reporter from yesterday was putting Richard Spencer's address online and encouraging people to take baseball bats like you. His grandpa did to Boond meetings, you know, encouraging violence against people you disagree with, and actually meaning it. Actually meaning it is the big thing. Huge difference in satire. Huge difference from just making comments and jokes and songs that might hurt someone's feelings a little bit. The enemy is actively talking about killing us. Like the Iran we had in Harrisburg few weeks ago. They were saying turn Pennsylvania into a battleground state with pictures of people with chains and bricks and bats and things like that. These folks have no sense of humor. They have no sense of self-awareness. They are just like, I mean, they're absolutely insane. And what that tells me is they're not all crazy, is that what they're fighting for is evil. What they're fighting for is satanic, and it's definitely influenced their mind. I mean, that's what, Adolf Hitler referred to international Jewry as a satanic power. And he's 100% right with that. So we need to be engaging the people, because the media is going to lie. We know that. The enemy is violent. The enemy are thugs. The enemy wants to do everything they can to stop us. So what we need to be able to be doing is engaging the people directly. I mean, things like what National Action has done with the charity events. Amazing. Change hearts and minds. To go to the people that need help the most and change their, win their hearts and their minds. Doing public demonstrations to show the enemy we're not afraid of them. Engaging and creating our own media, because we can't rely on the mainstream Jewish media to be able to tell the truth. All of this has to be based on action. And that is our defining characteristic. We're motivated by something that is greater than us. We're fighting for something greater than us. And that animation gets us active in the streets, active in our communities, active with one another. And that's how we have to be doing it. So we have to hit every single front. We can't just give up a single inch to the enemy in terms of a form of media, a form of engagement, a form of way to be able to get with the public. The second we give up an inch, the second they win. So we need to be pushing forward on all fronts. And I think that's the path forward. But we need to remember who our enemy really is.
Well, I think you've really hit on something there, Matt, by pointing out the humour and that they don't have a sense of humour, because they seem to be particularly frightened of things that are humorous. I mean, Simon Shepherd, he published the Tales of the Hollow Hoax comic. And he ended up having to flee to America to try and claim asylum. And he was turned down asylum. He didn't go about it the right way. But he ended up doing 4 or 5 years inside just for publishing this humorous comic. So, and the way that they've gone after Alison for this humorous song, this humorous comic, I mean, that shows you that they are particularly frightened about humour for some reason. If you look at the success of the Daily Stormer, which is very satirical, very humorous, and you look at how many viewers that gets, 4 million viewers a month, and that's because of the humour of it. So I think they're particularly frightened of humour. So anyone that is good at satire, is good at humour, then get out there and do it, because it obviously works. And they're very frightened of it as well. And I think the other point that this raises is this Hollow Hoax thing seems to be particularly sacred to them, more sacred than any religious thing. I mean, we seem to have lost our respect for what's sacred. I mean, you brought up the image of Christ in the urine there, Matt. I mean, that we should have gone absolutely wild about that, but we didn't. And the Jews just carried on with it, and we were told that we were just religious fuddy-duddies if we didn't like it. It was modern art. But as soon as something comes out which mocks what they hold sacred, then they try to bring all these laws in. They try to create these laws so that we can't mock it, so that we can't say anything about it apart from what we've been told we should be saying. We should be saying, oh, never again, 6 million gas Jews turned into lampshades. You know, this is the sort of thing that we're allowed to say. But if we were to mention that in a humorous way, then they're going to say that this is inciting hatred. And it's not inciting hatred. What it's inciting is laughter. It's inspiring laughter. So maybe what it is that they really just don't like being laughed at. Do you think that could be what it is, Matt? They just don't like being laughed at?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing, that laughter is a really, really powerful tool. And they're terrified of anything that can challenge them, because the things that they put forward is so absurd. I mean, the very idea that you can go into the outback of Australia and look at an Aboriginal and then look at a Swede and tell me that there is no difference whatsoever. That should make anyone bust a gut laughing. That is a hilarious assertion that race is only skin deep or race is only about melanin. When you're talking about groups of people that are radically different, or go into the jungles of the Congo or something like that and find indigenous peoples there and compare them to a Japanese person or a Han Chinese. That the idea that there's no difference between races is absolutely insane. Now, of course, that's not saying one is better than the other. It's just saying we're different. They tell us, though, there is not a single difference. Saying like a Chihuahua and a Great Dane are exactly the same because there is one race, the dog race. So it's insane. And that's what Daily Stormer has done so well. with the humor. They can't stand it because their assertions are hilarious. Their assertions are beyond logic. I mean, the idea that, you know, if you don't like the way multiculturalism is going in your society, let's take another 10 million people that hate your way of life and want to radically change it and bring them in and, you know, things are going to be great. Multiculturalism will work. Well, you'd be a crazy person to believe that. That's funny, too. So I think humor is one of our most effective things because the Jews and the left work outside of the realm of understanding the way a normal person does because they're post-factual, as you mentioned. So that when we laugh at them, we tear down everything. We make them feel very, very small, I think, because it really breaks apart their understanding of the world where they're the masters, they're in charge. And when we mock them, when we laugh at them, the emperor has no clothes. The Jews aren't that powerful. The Jews aren't that mighty. And they get brought down and they get almost like a PTSD flashback to, I don't know, getting made fun of in elementary school or something like that. Or getting a swirly by the Aryan jock in the high school. You know, all the tropes that they put out in the movies that they do. Where, of course, whites are always demonized as, you know, tall and strong, but intellectually weak, and the clever Jew is able to escape, but the Jews are always harassed. I mean, this is a victim narrative that they have. And humor really brings back, I think, that, and it really, really hits them in a way nothing else does, where it really, really, really makes them feel small, and it makes them realize that all their trillions of dollars, all of their militaries they control, all the things that that they have, the mightiest empire ever assembled in human history is, you know, controlled by the Jews. And at the end of the day, you can have 4chan trolls, you can have millennial alt-writers, you can have the Daily Stormer and stuff poking fun and poking holes in this narrative, and they once again are brought down to feeling just so very, very small. So I think that's great. A little bit of humor and a little bit of bullying against an enemy that's genocidal and evil, you know, is a good thing for us, and it really, really drives them crazy. They have no sense of humor.
Well, they must know that it's the truth as well, and the truth hurts. It's going to hurt all the more if somebody's laughing while they tell you it. You know, I think this really is it. They just cannot stand to think that there are people that are laughing at them, and that these people have actually worked out what the truth is, and we've worked out that we're being lied to, and you know what we're going to do then is then mock them for it. We're not going to cower. We're not going to pretend that we don't know what the truth is. We're not going to buckle down and not spread the truth. We're going to have a good laugh about it, and we're going to tell people about it, and then we're going to laugh at the Jews, at the ridiculousness of these lies that they've told us. Because it is hilarious to think that people seriously think that Aborigines are the same as Nordic people and that there's no difference. All it is skin colour. When you know that forensic detectives, that's the way that they can tell who actually committed the crime, is just from a bit of bone they can tell what race that person is. You know, it's not just about skin colour. It's like the emperor that wears no clothes, isn't it? And the little boy points it out that the guy's got no clothes on. And even that is a funny story because the little boy is laughing because the emperor is naked. So humor is right at the heart of this. And humor is the way that we can get them. I just wish I was more of a funny person, Matt. I'm not really much of a comedian, but I know that we have got some very funny people on our side, very humorous people. And as I say, Alison Chablos is one of them with her song. I do recommend that people check out her YouTube channel. It appears that she's been showered from Twitter. You can't find her on there anymore, but she is still there at YouTube, and she really could do with some support, I think, Matt, considering what the persecution that she's going through. We could actually play out with one of her songs if you wanted.
That sounds great, and I'll leave that as you know, just kind of my closing thought is, remember, one of the biggest critiques of the right is that we don't pick up our wounded. And I think that's so true. We punch to the right, we don't defend to the right so often, and we don't pick up our wounded. When people are hurt by the enemy, when people are hurt by life circumstances, we need to be there to support them. So I would encourage all my comrades, find a way to be able to support her and all the other comrades who have lost jobs, lost opportunities, if you can help them get a job, if you can help them get in touch with a lawyer that you know that will support them, if you could just give them a call and tell them that you're praying for them, all of this is important to this family national community that we're building. So, you know, just do what you can to be able to help. We're all in this together. We're all family. We all need to love each other, and it's such an important thing. So, yeah, Sven, thank you so much for being here, and play me out, Johnny.
My name is Irene Sisblatt, and I come from Hungary. Can you believe what evil Nazi bastards did to me? They gassed me once, gassed me twice, but escape I did. Over the electric fence, landed on the train. I saw them taking babies and tearing them in two. The creepy Dr. Mengele, he removed my tattoo. They tried to turn my brown eyes blue, make a lampshade from my skin. For months I swallowed diamonds and shat them out again. Come on, my brother, tell us another story for cover of tribal game. Safe in our tower now is the hour. Money and power, we have no shame. Let's cheat and lie on film. No one suspects a thing. Bigger the lie is better for us. Every fake survivor, every fake survivor's laughing. Fake survivors' tongues are wagging. All us frauds busy blagging. Spinning yarn, there'll be no gagging. You must pay all the way, every night and day. My name is Elie Wiesel. May I show you my tattoo? Is it gone? I wrote a book for US kids to study whilst at school. It's full of nonsense tales, of course. What did you all expect? But it made me very wealthy. As a liar, I'm the best. Auschwitz, they burned babies, though the water table's high. Fred Leuchter's work on ditches, it made me almost cry. Treblinka was another one, there was no funeral pyre. And I cannot speak Hungarian, but boy, oh, can I lie? Come on, my brother, tell us another story. The cover of tribal game, safe in our tower now is the hour. Money and power, we have no shame. History repeats itself, no limits to our wealth. Thanks to your debts, we're bleeding you dry. We control your media, control all your books and TV. With the daily lies we're feeding, suffering victimization. Sheep will have no realization, they will pay all the way till the break of day. My name is Otto Frank, and my daughter's name is Anna. The poor girl died of typhus at Bergen-Belsen camp. She wrote an introduction to her famous diary, but the rest was penned by someone else than published by me. In 2016, the copyright came to an end. The Anne Frank Trust decided once again the rules to bend. We really had no choice, although the whole thing really stank. But the book now has two authors. Yes, that's Anne and Otto Frame. Come on, my brother, tell us another story for cover of Tribal Game. Safe in our tower now is the hour, money and the power. We have no shame. Banknotes, let's print some more. We love to see you poor. Let's start a war. Our pockets to line. There is no more doubting. Every nation's debt is mounting, while the bankers keep on counting. Pension fund now gone AWOL, nothing left upon your table. You must pay night and day till the end of time.